Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it is Trinity Sunday. I hope you know what that means. Do you? Some of you are nodding yes. So I want to see a show of hands. Who came to church tonight thinking, oh good, we get to say the Athanasian Creed? Some of you are saying, yes, I've been looking for this for a whole year. And some of you, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, why is it so long? And you know what I noticed was looking at the bulletin that in the past, this congregation has always had the pastor say a verse, then the congregation, then the pastor, then the verse. Have you looked ahead at the bulletin tonight? I'm having everybody say all the words. Isn't that wonderful? I love the Athanasian Creed. I do look forward to speaking it every year and all of it. My old congregation would have one third of it early in the service and then do some hymns and whatever and do the second third in the middle of the service and then do the last third later on. That's cheating. At the end of this sermon, we're going to say every word, all of us together, the entire Athanasian Creed. And the first time you hear it, it's kind of mystifying, isn't it? But this is one thing I've noticed now that I'm getting older and older. Every year you read it, you're like, hey, this is starting to make sense to me. If it doesn't make sense to you yet, read it several more times during the year. Like everything, it's online. It's also in the hymnal on page 319. Look it up. It's a great creed. Now, some people will say, but aren't creeds written by men? Are creeds in the Bible? Well, actually, there are some short creeds in the Bible. The Athanasian Creed per se isn't. But the question isn't, is the Athanasian Creed in the Bible? The question with any creed is the content of this creed in the Bible, right? Is the content in the Bible. Most churches are like us Lutherans. We have three creeds. I want to talk about them in a little bit. The shortest one is the Apostles' Creed. People like that one. It's the same as sermons. We think short is good. The Apostles' Creed is short because it's the oldest creed. Do you know it goes back to the second century? That means the 100s. In many sources, you'll see it mentioned as the Old Roman Creed. That's because the church in Rome, and I don't mean the Roman Catholic Church, I mean the gathering of Christians in the city of Rome, used that as the baptismal creed. It still has that function among us. You would ask, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? And they would say, I believe. Isn't that nice? The oldest thing, when the church was saying, how do we know that somebody is a Christian? By them confessing this content about this God. The medium-length creed is the Nicene Creed. And we say those two creeds here, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, on alternating weeks, right? The Nicene Creed, we know this, where it comes from. It comes from the year AD 325. It's called the Nicene Creed because it was written at the Council of Nicaea. And one of the sections is a lot longer than the other. Which one? The middle one, right? The Jesus part. Why? Why is the Jesus part so long? Because our Lord Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, had one time asked this question. Who do you say that I am? Isn't that important? Who do you say that I am? I know. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? That was the response. Or I always love the confession of St. Thomas. Remember Thomas didn't see Jesus when he first was risen from the dead? And Thomas said, unless I see the nail prints myself, I've got to touch it myself. Thomas is very modern, isn't he? I've got to see and touch it myself or it's not real. And when Jesus appeared to him, what did he say? We don't even know, by the way, did he touch Jesus or not? I've always thought maybe he did not. But he did say, my Lord and my God. Jesus has always said, who do you say that I am? And almost as soon as the church had started to confess that Jesus Christ is eternal God, the second person of the Trinity, the Savior of the world, almost as soon as the church started to say that, other people started teaching false doctrines about Jesus. Watch out for that, right? Even in our day, we say, well, that's an ancient thing. Sometimes people read the creeds and say, well, they're talking about things that people used to argue about. Oh, no. Try this out. Every single cult will get wrong who is Jesus. They might esteem him, they might elevate him, they might praise him. They'll do everything but say Jesus is God, right? That happened in the early church. Some people in the early church were saying Jesus actually didn't come to earth. He was just a spirit. He seemed to be here. And then some people were modalists who said, God, and you've heard me talk about this before, but that God the Father was in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit later. Like, God isn't triune, but he's one, then this one, then that one. And because of all that confusion, the church had to say, well, we've now got to expand the second part of the creed. The Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed begin with two words. What are they? I believe. Let me ask you this. Is there a difference between I believe and we believe? Sure, there is. I want to talk about it for a minute. I believe says I have faith, right? And there's a truth there, isn't it? It's not enough to say my parents were active in this church and now I don't practice the faith. Isn't that the truth of I believe? By whose faith do I apprehend salvation? Not my grandma's. By whose? By mine. I believe. I always love the passage in Job. All the things Job goes through. And when Job says, I myself will see my Redeemer. And what does he say? I'll see him with my own eyes, I and not another. That's important, isn't it? But we believe is just as important, isn't it? We believe says I'm part of a confessing community. It's not just my faith in isolation. It's my faith and your faith together. There's a beautiful truth there. We can agree and disagree on all kinds of minor things, but we agree on salvation in Jesus. And I could say I, but you could say I, and you could say I, and if you add all those I's together, what do you get? We. Did you know modern hymnals always choose, are we going to use I believe or we believe? And the funny thing in history is that one of them, the Apostles' Creed, and the other, one used I believe in the original text, and the other said we believe. People will wonder, what was the original text? In the Apostles' Creed, the original text is I believe because it happened at the baptism. It's important to the baptism that I believe, but the Nicene Creed was a statement of the community of faith saying, we believe these things. It's wonderful, isn't it? The Athanasian Creed. We don't know the exact date. We do know that Athanasius himself did not write it. It was named in honor of this man because he defended very vigorously the biblical teaching and the Christian teaching of the Trinity. It comes from the 5th or the 6th century. And it's long. I know it's long. Athanasius had to battle a man named Arius who came into the church, and Arius said, Jesus is the greatest, the highest, the most magnificent thing that God ever made. That's wrong, isn't it? And he would esteem Christ, and he would say anything positive about Christ he wanted to, everything but that he's God. That's a heresy. Jesus is God or he's not, right? And Athanasius wrote against that man, and the church came up with this creed, and it's long and it's repetitious. The creed says that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. Please hear that word, unity. How many gods do we have? One. We have to stand on that, right? We are not polytheists. We do not have three gods. How many gods did Israel have? One. Deuteronomy 6:4, remember the Shema? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. A Jewish person of faith said that every single day. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine getting up and every morning saying the Apostles' Creed? Now, Shema is shorter than the Apostles' Creed, isn't it? Every day, one God, one God. Now, they knew there were other gods out there, but they were what? False. Those were gods that people made up. We worship the true God. We worship the God who made everything. We worship the God who brought us up out of Egypt. Isn't that what the Old Testament says over and over again? We worship the God who brought us out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. One God. But, isn't there something weirdly plural about the Old Testament God? They say over and over again, there's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You may not worship any other gods. And yet, Genesis 1, that was our first text, wasn't it? I always love to mention the first four words of Genesis 1. Everybody always says the first three. In the beginning, what's the next word? God. In the beginning, God. St. Paul says the same thing. Romans 1:20 says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. The Bible has always said the created order is so complicated, it was made. Right? Not random chance, not plenty of time, not let evolution take its course. The Bible says the whole thing, the universe, the cosmos, even the ecosystem, we would now say DNA, the human body, you look at it and say, that was made. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Isn't that funny? They say, we are the fools. You should not be able to look at the created order and say there's no God. The Bible thinks that's foolishness. But the Bible, having said, in the beginning, God, establishing that there is a God, the next word is, in the beginning, God created, made everything. But then hear these words. There's God, the maker, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Wait a minute, right? There's one God, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And this is very subtle, but the next words say, and God said. And when you speak, what are you speaking? A word. And the New Testament says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Genesis 1, the first two verses, tell us that God is triune. Israel says, one God. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in what? In our image. One God. Us and our. Isaiah 6:3, I've always loved that passage where Isaiah is given a vision of heaven. He sees the angels flying around and singing. What are they singing? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holy, holy, holy. Numbers 6. God told them to bless the people with words we end this service with. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Isaiah 48:16. And now the Lord has sent me endowed with a spirit. Me is the Son. You hear that? The Lord, God the Father, has sent me the Son endowed with a spirit. That's Old Testament. They shouldn't have been too surprised when Jesus came. The eternal Son of God, existing before Bethlehem, let's be clear. The Savior of the world, risen from the dead, and said to them, go and baptize all nations. In the what? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, I and the Father are one. He didn't mean that he was a prophet. He meant that he was God. He said to them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He wasn't saying he was sort of like the Father. He was saying he is God. The personality of the Spirit is all over the Bible. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit is hovering. Psalm 51, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. The Old Testament says in the Hebrew, Holy Spirit. We don't understand it, right? I love those videos on YouTube called How to Explain the Trinity. I don't watch them. Maybe they're right. I don't know. We don't explain it. We confess it. The Athanasian Creed says this. Is God uncreated? In other words, nobody made him. Is God uncreated? Yep. Then guess what? So is the Father, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit, right? Is God infinite? Yep. So is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Is God eternal? That's true of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not the same person because only one of them dies on the cross, right? The Son. I want to kind of conclude with this thought. The creeds are important. But I want to leave us with a really simple thought. It's two words. Are you ready for the two words? I think it's so important as Christians, every time we confess the faith, we need to know these two words, for me. Right? Is that important? I always love that in Luther's Small Catechism. When he talks about communion, he says, this is the body and blood of Christ given and shed what? For you. For you. Take and eat. This is my body given for you. God was saying not just that he exists, but that he works. That he's active. And what's he active doing? What he's doing is for me. And if we all say for me, we would put it together and say for us. Right? It's not just here. It's that God is for us, loves us, supports us, nurtures us, gets us through. We confess this one God, but we want to know, when we say for us, God the Father made me. Isn't that right? God the Father created you and redeemed you and indwells you. Isn't that God for you? Let's not let him be the God of the philosophers. Let's let him be the God that's for us. This specific God, we have to confess this God because there's always been Moloch and Baal and Mammon. But we want to confess this God for us. That's the universal faith. Right? Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.